from the Xfinity Studios at WVON. We're your original social media.
You're listening to American Heroes, hosted by Cliff Curry on WVON AM 1690.
Welcome back to America's Heroes Group Roundtable with partner and sponsor, Tayback Law, LLC. And I learned a real nice catchy phrase, Tayback for the payback. So I'm still living on that one. Today, this is January, it's Cervical Cancer Awareness Month, and it's important to realize that vaccinations for cervical cancer are effective in preventing cervical cancer. It's the only vaccine we know of that actually works to prevent cancer. So make sure you learned about that. Also, today is Saturday, January 16, 2021. Our host and the governor of Talk Radio is Cliff Kelly. I'm his co-host, Colonel Dr. Damon Arnold. Our executive producer is Glenda Smith. Digital media producer is Manny Carazzari. And we have a special panelist. We're going to be talking about Milwaukee, Wisconsin Tabak Law Firm, which successfully represents veterans across the USA who are denied their benefits claims. And I've heard some really wonderful stories, and this is really a firm that you need to look at if you are concerned about your benefits claims. Our panelist is Monica Ireland Carras. She is the Veterans Benefits Attorney with Tabak Law Firm, based out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, with offices located across the United States. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Monica. Tell us a little bit about Tabak Law Firm and why it's so important for veterans to really keep pressing for their benefits.
Absolutely. we represent veterans nationwide. And their veterans claims, whether they are dealing with the VA, with the Board of Veterans Appeals, or some of the federal courts, we do all of that work. We represent thousands of veterans throughout the entire country and even some that aren't in the country. This is my passion. This is something that I love to do. I love my clients, and I think most of my clients like me very much. We have been very successful for our clients. I personally have had some great outcomes. I had a great outcome this week. And what I really want people to know is that we fight. We really fight for our veterans. And whether it takes you 6 months or 10 years, we stick it out for the good long haul. And we know what it takes to win these cases, whether it's getting expert opinions from doctors or other people, or showing the veterans how to support their claims through buddy statements and statements from, people that are in their families or people they served with. We can point you in the right direction. It can be very confusing, very bureaucratic. I think I shared with you, Dr. Arnold, that I have my own father's stuff that I'm dealing with through the VA, and even as an attorney, it throws me. So
daunting.
It's a daunting task because there's so much to do. So my heart goes out to everybody, and I've somewhat been there myself with my own family members. I can say I haven't lost a hearing in a real long time. And I'm real proud of that.
Expert attorney. That's why I've been hearing those good stories coming out of your firm. And also you represent, it says attorney, you represent people and clients before the decision review officers, right? The Board of Veterans Appeals and the Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. So they actually have an ally, going into those situations in your law firm, right?
Yes. And, one of the things that I see very often as far as decision review officers and those types of things is, when a veteran finally does win their claim and they're so excited and happy to have finally won, when you have someone like me going through your decision, I oftentimes find that effective dates are wrong. And I can handle that through the decision review officers and through higher level reviews because you've been fighting for so long. You're so happy that they finally acknowledged this. And then I look at the claim and I say, that's great, but we need to get your effective date correct. So there's a lot of legal mumbo jumbo that goes into that about whether, your situation or whatever disease or disorder you have, you know, the VA likes to hang up on things like you haven't been treating. Well, that's not the legal standard. The legal standard is whether you, in fact, have the condition. So it's not diagnosis. It's whether you have the condition. So that's one of the things that someone like me, when you partner with me, I know those things and I can help you with, and I can say, whoa, 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 they're pointing you in the right direction or the wrong direction, excuse me.
Oh, that's right. And, you know, I'm so glad you're saying that, because it's really interesting. You know, we, you know, many of us have to sit down, and this is coming up to tax season again, and we don't try to do taxes ourselves many times. We sort of go to a tax consultant if we want to survive the tax ordeal. And so going into a veteran's benefits claim without having being prepared and not knowing all the, you know, the ins and outs like you would in a law firm, can put someone at an extreme disadvantage. As you were mentioning, can be daunting for, you know, for even someone who's skilled in reviewing these cases. So it's really critical that people reach out for the right kind of help. And when someone does reach out to you, what should they be prepared to do? Should they be getting the paperwork together, or how should they approach, you know, the firm with their case, making sure that they have what you need?
Well, first of all, let me say that's a great analogy. I never thought of it like that, but that is very, very true, the way you just said that. If you're calling into my firm and you're just wanting us to jump into your claim and help you out because you're a little overwhelmed, I obviously need the very basic information. I need your Social Security number. I need your branch. I need the dates that you served. I need the type of discharge that you had. And then I need to know what conditions you are claiming that are service-connected. So remember that it has to be a service-connected condition. It's not just that you served and now 30 years later you have a bad knee and you were, you know, you served at one time. It has to be service-connected. So I want to know, you know, one of the things that I have found very interesting, and actually it's a story I want to tell you guys about because it's a great win that I had. But you know, when you sit down with people and they're like, oh, yeah, I was in a car accident in service. Mm-hmm. And you're like, well, that's really important to know. And they're like, well, I never really thought about it. And you're like, well, that's considered service connected. If that happened to you in service and you maybe slipped a disc or broke your knee and you have residuals now. And actually, if you don't mind, I want to tell you about one gentleman because
oh, sure.
He's one of my favorite clients.
Yes.
So his name is William, and he is down in Florida. And he has been fighting his claim. I had to write it down. June 2012 is when he initiated this claim. And he retained me in January of 2019. And we had a hearing on, let's see, August 2nd, 2019. So to give you guys kind of an idea of how daunting this can be, he filed June 18th, 2012. February 2013, he was denied. March 2013, he disagreed. February 2014, he was denied. June 2016, he was also denied more issues. And then August of 2016, we get what's known as a statement of the case, where they tell you what's going on and why they're denying you or whatnot.
Yes.
So in September of 2016, he disagreed with them. October 2016, think about that. It was certified to the board for a hearing. In February 2019, 3 years later, they sent him a letter and they told him it was docketed. That means he's got a place on the docket and he will get a hearing date. That took 3 years just from the last transaction here.
Wow.
So then we got a hearing in August 2019. And then just a couple days ago, a year and a half later, we got a decision for him. For William, I got 11 conditions service-connected that they were denying and denying and denying. And his back pay amount was $103,368.
Wow.
So when our listeners are discouraged and they want to stop and they just, you know, they can't do it anymore, $103,000, because this gentleman stuck it out and he kept going and going and going. And the VA had to give him back pay back to 2012.
That's life-changing.
Amazing, right? And he's such a great, deserving man. I'll have to have him on with me. I just love him to death. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about some of the issues he got service connected, because it's interesting. So he's got a back issue and he's got some arthritis. But we have lower sciatic nerve radiculopathy on the right and on the left. Those are two separate ratings. Mm-hmm. And then we also have femoral radiculopathy on both sides. Mm-hmm. Two more ratings. So those are four separate ratings.
Wow.
So just because your knee hurts or your hip hurts or your ankle hurts, you know, they can be separate ratings that can really cash out for you. So I just really want to, you know, kind of beat into everybody's head that you got to keep at it because you'll get it.
Yes, yeah, that's amazing. Because, you know, many times two people, you know, feel hopeless or, you know, they give up. And then, you know, also some people feel funny about asking for anything because we, you know, we are service members. We were meant to serve, not to ask or receive. And, you know, these things are due to you because of the contract you have with society and with the government, right? If you get injured in the line of duty and you have these conditions that are arising, that are service connected, it's something that you deserve because you, you know, we should be they should be compensated injuries because you are doing that in the service of this nation, and you are doing
absolutely. It. Absolutely,
that's right. To defend this Constitution, and so you really it's really important for service members not to feel that this is a handout or something else. No, it's not. It's compensation for an injury you sustained defending this nation.
Well, and you guys, like, I'm doing this. Like, this is these $100,000 back pay type things. I'm getting these every 3 weeks right now. I'm getting one every 3 weeks. Huh. I might get you $5,000. I might get you $500. But, you know, depending on what your claim is. But we're getting them. We're doing it. I'm so happy for my veterans. Their lives are changed. I've got people living on Social Security that can barely make ends meet. They've got, in the case of Mr. William, he had 3 grandbabies that he had adopted.
Yeah.
And now they can be dependents. Now we can put them on his VA benefits as dependents because he formally adopted them. That's why the grandbabies count. But, I mean, we are doing it, you guys, and I am so so proud and so happy. You know, I was talking to a gentleman yesterday. He was a Vietnam era veteran, and he said, my foot is deformed because when we were in Vietnam, there was an explosion and we all ran for cover, and I broke my ankle or I broke my foot. And I said, you know, to my commanding officer, my God, like, I hurt my foot. And they were like, people are bleeding out all over the place. Like, who cares about your foot? And he was like, right. Like, let's take care of the people we need to take care of. And then all these years later, the VA says, well, we don't have any record of that. Sorry. And, well, you were in a war zone, you know, and to this day is what is deformed. And those are the types of things I can fight for you. Those are the types of things that my firm can handle successfully.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. And that's one of the things that happens. You know, I always tell this story about when I came back from my first tour in Iraq. And we were sitting, and it was about 300 soldiers in this very confined space. We were, like, you know, shoulder to shoulder sitting in these chairs. And so a sergeant walks in, and this was for our, you know, reentry after coming back from the combat field. And he says, is anyone in here crazy? Is anyone in here nuts? Just raise your hand. And a few people just raised their hand just to say to hell with it. And they would look. Everyone was looking at each other. You're sitting there in front of your command staff. You're going to go back to these units. And that was the mental health screening. And they said, if you say yes, you may have to stay here for a month, you know, for us to process everything. And everyone went to get out of there, you know, to go home. And so, you know, that kind of interaction is just really horrific. So I'm glad that we have attorneys like you out there fighting hard for the veterans.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, another thing that I get from veterans is specifically Vietnam era or Gulf era people who come home, and they say they have suicidal ideation or maybe homicidal ideation, and they talk to a civilian doctor and they say, don't ever tell anybody that. They're going to mark you as crazy, you're going to lose your job, and don't tell anybody that. That is information that you have got to tell your competent examiner or your regular therapist. I mean, or basis, obviously, of your own health. We want you to be health, healthy. We don't want you to have suicidal ideations. We don't want you to have homicidal ideations. We want you to be healthy. And we understand coming back from a combat zone just, you know, might throw you off a little bit.
Yes.
But
yes.
They get that advice a lot. Don't say that to anyone. Don't tell anyone that.
Yes.
And that's not going to help you in the long run with the VA. So you make sure your comp and pen examiner knows about that. You make sure your comp and pen examiner knows that you self-medicate, that you drink, mm-hmm. that you smoke marijuana, mm-hmm. that that's the way you get through the night because you can't sleep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so many people are ashamed, and we have to take that shame off, and we have to get to the root of this. And I don't care if you smoke marijuana to sleep. I don't care if you have a history of heroin and crack because that was how you got through a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are the things I can help you with. Those are the things I can help you put into words and make people understand that, you know, and it doesn't have to be combat. It can be a horrible experience in boot camp.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a sexual trauma that nobody knows about.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Especially for our men, you know, our men don't want to talk about that sexual trauma, and it happened. And it can, and I don't want to say it happens now. I don't know. I don't get cases for people that are active, but my Vietnam era guys, my peacetime guys between Vietnam and Gulf, you know, it happens and people don't want to talk about it, but we got to talk about it.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. You know, we have to, you know, take the stigma off of those things and really open them up. I'm so glad you said all that because, you know, I've been hearing that over the years, you know, from people that, you know, they've been told not to say this, not to say that, and, you know, be careful about saying this. And, you know, and it's part of that gets in the way of treatment, right? And I think with all the steps, you know, this 12-step programs, the first step is, you know, acknowledging, right, that you have a problem or something is here. And this is something that people need to get past, that stigma. And so you know, with this, you know, what would you advise to a veteran who is, you know, in this situation and they want to, you know, contact you or go to a website or find out more about what they should be doing? And then also, can you mention, you know, you have specialists that you have as far as referrals for people to go to make sure that they're getting accurately, you know, looked at or diagnosed, I guess, in the background to make sure that they're going down the right road and getting evaluated.
Oh, my gosh, I totally forgot to say that. I got so happy and so into our conversation.
Well, you have a lot to be happy with all your successes.
Well, I'm happy to be fighting the good fight, right?
Right.
You could be a lawyer out there maybe not feeling so great about what you're doing, but I feel pretty great about what I'm doing.
Yeah.
My phone number is 414-375-1735. 414-375-1735 is the number where you can get in touch.
Yes.
We have a website that is www.paybackattorneys.com. TABAK attorneys.com. And you can jump on there and see our veterans benefit stuff. I'm going to give you the number one more time just because I talk fast. 414-375-1735. And we will help you with your claims.
And remember the phrase, payback for the payback. I love that one song.
Payback for the payback. Yes, sir. That's our catchphrase. If you get lucky, maybe I'll get you a T-shirt with that on there. I got a couple T-shirts. Yeah, you know, I just, as far as your question about what people should be doing, just the normal stuff, right? Like if you... the thing that people have to understand is if there's a PTSD claim or a sexual trauma claim, the VA basically has to help you. So even if you're not service connected for that, you can go to your VA and get help and treatment for those things. It's kind of a no questions asked type policy. So as far as taking away the stigma of mental health and that sort of thing, you can be treated at the VA. I really want to say, like, you know, it's 2021. We get it. Mental health is a serious thing. It's not, to me, it's as serious as a heart attack, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, please don't be embarrassed. Please don't feel like you have to put your head down. You know, I talk to many veterans who are crying on the phone when they talk to me because they don't want to have to talk about these things. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to make it so that they don't have to talk about it. I try very hard that if we have a hearing or a review officer, that you don't have to retell your story over and over again. And actually, there are some laws and some fights going on behind the scene right now about whether veterans should actually have to tell those stories at comp and pen exam, you know? Mm-hmm. So don't hesitate to call on the mental health stuff. Again, 414-375-1735. But, you know, like we said, all the other things too, your knees, your ankles, your shoulder. You know, if you got a bad hip and you're walking with a cane, and 25 years into that cane, your shoulder and your elbow start going bad, that's a secondary service connection. That's something you need to look into with the VA. It's going to be a fight. It's not going to be easy. But that's secondary to your, you know, service-connected knee or hip. So, you know, people need to think about those things, too.
Yes.
I, as an attorney, I can overcome things like homelessness. I can overcome things like, if you were in jail and there's no records and the VA says, well, you were fine for 20 years and you were in jail or you were homeless or something like that happened, I can overcome that for you. So,
okay, great. We're out of time right now, Monica, but we are so pleased to have you, especially as a partner, because what you're doing is really helping our veterans in insurmountable ways. I mean, there's money that's being made here on Earth for that compensation, but I'm sure you're gaining a lot of gifts up in heaven already, you know, treasures for what you're doing.
Oh, I hope so. Helping. Thank you.
And the phone number, again, is 414-375-1735 and www.taybackattorneys.com, and it's Tayback for the payback. Remember that.
Payback for the payback. Thank you, Dr. Arnold.
Thank you
for your service.
Oh, thank you.
You have a wonderful week.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
You as well. Stay with us. We are going to be back very shortly with the next segment. And stay with us because we have a special person coming up from the VA. Okay? And we are looking forward to seeing you soon.
Hi, I'm Cliff Kelly, Vietnam veteran and host of America's Heroes Group, the game changer in radio, print, and digital media programming. We are a roundtable talk show where information, resources, and referrals are provided intentionally every Saturday to empower our military population on WVON 1690 AM, the iHeart Radio app from 4 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Please visit our website at www.americashd.org.
Hi, this is Cliff Kelly, the host of America's Heroes Group. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident or the result of malpractice, you have only one chance to get the compensation you deserve. You need a law firm you can trust with experience and resources who will fight on your behalf. With a proven track record of excellence both in and out of the courtroom, call Seidman, Margulis, and Fairman at 312-781-1977 for a free consultation or visit SeidmanLaw.net. That's Seidman, SeidmanLaw.net.
Hey, Cliff, where can a veteran business owner go on the south side of Chicago for breakfast, lunch, and dinner meetings?
I'm a veteran, and that's an easy answer. Pearl's Place on 39th and Michigan. Pearl's Place has free parking available across the street. Reasonably priced, quality food that tastes delicious. Veteran owners, there's no place like Pearl's Place.
Governor of Talk Radio, your executive producer wants to know, where can I go for delicious shrimp? Any suggestions?
Absolutely. The one and only veteran business owner, Harris Gulf Shrimp, at 7448 Vincennes. I personally eat there. The price and shrimp are nothing other than fantastic.
Thank you, the one and only Governor of Talk Radio.
Market, advertise, and sponsor your business with Vietnam veteran Cliff Kelly and America's Heroes Group, where information and resources are intentionally disseminated via radio, print, and social media. Call our office for more details at 312-803-2618.
America's Heroes Group is proudly sponsored by Attorney Steve Seichman of Seichman Margolis and Fairman LLP. 20 South Clark Street, 2 First National Plaza, Suite 700, Chicago, Illinois, 60603. Toll free, 888-837-3275. Office number is 312-781-1977. Pearl's Place, Down Home Southern Cooking, 3901 South Michigan Avenue, Chicago, Illinois, 877-275-5852. Veteran business owner, Hare's Golf Shrimp, 7448 South Vincennes Avenue, Chicago, Illinois, 60621. Call 773-783-1818. Tabach Law, LLC, 6045 North Green Bay Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 414-375-1735.
The Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Welcome, welcome back to America's Heroes Group Roundtable with partner National Nurses United. This is January is Cervical Cancer Awareness Month. Make sure you get those vaccines. The one vaccine that can prevent cancer for cervical cancer is the Gardasil or the vaccine for those viruses that cause that disease. Also, today is Saturday, January 16th, 2021, and our host is the godfather of radio, the governor of radio, the icon, Cliff Kelly. I am his co-host, Colonel Dr. Damon Arnold, executive producer is Glenda Smith, and our digital media producer is Manny Carazzari. Today's topic is going to be with a distinguished nurse, Adelina Marshall, VA Mental Health RN, and she is my favorite nurse. I hope the other nurses aren't listening right now when I said that. But our discussion today is going to be the 2021 National Nurses United Agenda. I am so pleased to have you on, Adelina. Tell us what this wonderful group is up to, because I know you do a lot of great work around policy and other issues.
Yes, so thank you for having me. Thank you, Mr. Cliff Kelly and Glenda Smith and Dr. Smith for having us. On board today. So one thing I do before we get started, I do want to point out to the veterans the importance of having, if you've gotten your COVID shot, the first shot, mm-hmm. the importance of getting the second shot. That mm-hmm. first shot is not going to give you full protection, and it's just kind of alerting your body that to get ready, because the second shot now is going to come in. So it helps your body start getting the antibodies needed, but that second shot is giving your body that charge. It's like charging your battery. You know, it might just not turn over, but that second shot will give you the protection that you needed. So please remember that. Please get your second shot if you've already received your first one. When you do receive your first one, keep in mind that you do need to get a second shot. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, fantastic. Yes. Yeah, because that COVID-19, what they're using right now is the Pfizer and Moderna, the ones out now. And I think Johnson & Johnson and AstraZeneca may come online down the road. I think they're going for the emergency use authorization right now as we speak. And I think in February, early February, they may be online. But it's for the Pfizer, it's 21 days in between. And for the Moderna, it's 28 days in between the shots. And you need to have at least 2 weeks after your second shot, right, before you're fully protected. So the total time period is about 6 weeks. It's important for you to wear your mask, to physically distance 6 to 8 feet, and to also make sure you wash your hands still, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
That's what will keep you safe. And we do know there are things on the Internet that may be conflicting with the information we're providing, mm-hmm. but you mm-hmm. will get the correct information on this show. And yes. We're bringing you the most updated information without any bias. We want our veterans and our listening audience to be protected.
Oh, excellent. You know, I'm so glad you said that. Because we have many veterans at home, and, you know, the youth have attended. You know, we are finding that youth are one of the vehicles of, you know, spreading the virus, because they're more active and more mobile, right, and have a tendency to socially gather a little bit more. But everyone needs to be protected against this, and it's important for the entire family to get it. So if you are a veteran, you're in charge of that family battery, right? Make sure that people are getting protected, and as well as yourself. And one of the things, too, is like if you miss the date, the second dose, you should still come in like a week later, right, if you miss that particular date. I think the CDC is saying you can come up to like, you know, a couple of months after that, as long as you, you know, just make sure you get that second shot, like you're saying.
Right. Yeah. So the other thing that we'd mm-hmm. like to address today after mm-hmm. that most important yes. information there is mm-hmm. that NNU is looking forward to the new administration coming on board.
Okay.
And one of the reasons for that is that hopefully we will have another secretary of the VA, Dennis McDougnut. His confirmation hearing is scheduled for the 27th of January. Our prior secretary has been really anti-worker, anti-problems with the VA administration, mm-hmm. and we're just hopefully this new administration will realize that our veterans need staff on board. They need to be fully staffed to provide for all the programs and things that the VA wants to roll out. The priority for the new VA administration is to stop the privatization of the VA.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second thing is to respect the VA, RNs, and all workers. The new administration needs to undo the efforts of the current administration to privatize, remember that word, privatize the VA, mm-hmm. and expand the care of VA to veterans who don't currently get care at the VA. Now, there's 23 million veterans, but only 9 million of those veterans get care at the VA now. So NNU has put out a white paper, research paper, and it's called Respect, and it stands for Restraining Effective and Sound Programs for Excellent Care and Treatment, Retraining mm-hmm. Effective and Sound Programs for Excellent Care and Treatment of Our Veterans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our veterans, the population, many of them have disability, service-related disability that required specialized treatment. They can get that at the VA.
Yeah.
The population has a higher rate of chronic conditions.
Mm-hmm.
So when the patient come in, we look at them at whole health care. We look at the whole veteran from top to bottom, to the tip of your toes, top of your head. We want to make sure that you're okay. When I go to a doctor, they're only going to treat me for maybe the cause that I'm coming in for. But at the VA, we want to look at the whole veteran and make sure that any underlying issues are addressed. And they have that right to that health care.
That's right. Yeah.
Our veteran population is aging, and so we're prepared for that. We know that as we age, we're starting to get confronted with other issues, diabetes, heart disease, Alzheimer's, a lot of host of other issues. And so the veteran, the VA is prepared to take care of those things. Our other concern with this administration coming on, and past administration initiated the Mission Act, double regulatory, double standards, and most aggressive attempt to privatize the VA. So regulations established by the Mission Act has tightened access standards within VHA, but failed to hold the private sector to these same standards. So the VA has to be transparent. The government has to be transparent. Private sector does not come under those regulations. So the regulation established separate standards within VHA for primary care, mental health, and specialty care access. For primary care and mental health, veterans can go to private sector if appointments isn't available within 20 days or a 30-minute drive for their home. But for specialty care, veterans can go to private sector if appointments isn't available within 28 to 60 days drive from home. Private sector providers are not held to these same standards. In fact, mm-hmm. if you can't get an appointment in private care for 20 days, then they put you as far out as they possibly can until there is an opening. We do know that there are shortages for these specialties in the private sector. And so it's another reason why our veterans should seek care at the VA.
Yeah, and I think you're absolutely right because, I actually seek care at the VA I was in the service for 26 years and retired. And when I go there, I feel there's a feeling of being with other veterans that I can't explain. It feels like being with family again.
Right.
And also the staff I've always found to be very caring, the nurses, the technicians and people who are there. And it's one other thing, you know, when you talk about privatizing, one of the things I have a concern about is that many, if we want to compare this to the Medicaid system, you know, where there is Medicaid being administered by private practitioners, some of them turn down Medicaid. And I I've had an experience, you know, personally where I went to one institution and they said, well, we don't cover, you know, we don't accept the VA benefits here. Mm. And, you know, it was for physical therapy. And if initially they said yes. And then when I went there to get the appointment, they said, no, we don't cover this. And what I'm worried about is if they privatize this, will this be similar to Medicaid where, you know, providers can turn down services to veterans? They should be guaranteed.
They should be guaranteed. You're right.
And so I feel much safer within a veteran system, you know, a VA system that has been designed, built, and dedicated to taking care of veterans.
Well, the other thing about the VA is that we have many veterans who work here. They're doctors, they're nurses, they're support personnel. And my experience here at the VA, do not mess with my veterans. The other veterans will be so upset. So they are also an extra set of eyes for you on your care.
Yes.
And we would like the new administration and Congress to fully fund and fully staff the VA so
yes,
VA has the adequate resources to take care of our nation's heroes. Number two is respecting VARians and all health care workers. Right now, they had refused to sign our collective bargaining agreement, and so we're still under the same contract that we had before. Mind you, government personnel cannot strike. So what we bargain for is workplace and also patient care, and we want to make sure that the patients are getting the care that they need. But we also need appropriate staffing. So we've had issues where they didn't have phlebotomists, and that adds that takes away from the nurses being able to attend to another patient. So when we get patients and they're ringing their call button, and then they're upset because the nurses can't attend to them right away, mm-hmm. That's because our staffing is short and we're doing the job of other disciplines that should be enough to assist us. Mm-hmm. So I might have to say, well, Mr. Marshall, I'll be with you as soon as I can, but right now I have to take care of this other patient's need, and I don't have anybody else to send to you. So right. We have nurses, bringing that to our attention. We want the Biden-Harris administration to rescind the all anti-union executive orders, which sole purpose was to try and silence the voices of the RNs and healthcare workers. We are the advocates for our veterans. And without a contract, the staff will be fearful of losing their jobs or mm-hmm. disciplinary action, and therefore they'll be worried about advocating for their patients or, you know, saying that this doctor didn't do that or, you know, I didn't have enough staff to perform this. And so right now, we are your eyes and ears. We look at your medication orders. Just the other day, I was talking to a veteran, and he said, Ms. Marshall, they had stopped this medication for me, but now I'm on it again, and I don't want to take it. But he didn't want to talk to his doctor. So I'm the one that wrote the note to the doctor and asked them to please review this patient's medication because he stated that it wasn't working for him and that it had already been changed. Mm-hmm. So the doctor mm-hmm. did look at it and the next day and did change his medication.
Oh,
so
right.
Patients feel safe coming to the nursing staff knowing that we will speak on their behalf.
Oh, yes, yeah. And it's very, that's a critically important, you know, that people feel like they are, you know, being listened to and that they are being taken care of appropriately. But I've been in, you know, I'm a physician myself, but I've been in multiple medical settings, and I've never seen anything quite as efficient as the VA system, you know, making sure that you get your medications, you get, you know, the day you're there, not 10 days later, not 5 months later, or looking for a specialty appointment a year later, right?
Right, right.
And you know, you put up another point that I think is really important to stress, is that we don't need any more unfunded mandates for veterans. You know, don't put something down on paper if you don't mean it, if you're a legislator.
Right.
Make sure that you are funding this thing appropriately and you're giving people the kind of staff they need to take care of people who are there. That is just a slap in the face to say that you care so much about the veterans and then to not provide the funding, you know, adequate funding for that image or that dream that you put out there to come true.
Right. That's exactly what happens. Mm-hmm. Is I don't know what they call it, but when they're, you know, talking in public and they're making these statements, and again, they're putting it on paper, and then when we have to initiate that, we're like, okay, where's the staff? How are we going to do this? You know, how are RNs having to take patients to x-rays and all these other things that they may need, dental service, podiatry service, and you're pulling a highly trained nurse from the bedside to do work, and then now you're leaving the other patients exposed in case there is an emergency. That nurse needs to be on that floor to be able to do that.
That's right.
So
right.
They're not hiring nurses or under-hiring. They also don't have the other auxiliary staff. And as we've all known for COVID, all the employees are essential workers. So we need, you know, EMS to keep the hospital clean and, you know, and food service to feed the veterans appropriately. So they have underhired across the board. And where is that money? If Congress appropriates the money, where is it? Why isn't it? Is it going to private sector to support some of the programs they initiated through the Mission Act? And is that taking money out of the budget of the VA? So we have to look at all of these things.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, is there a way that people can find out more about the National Nurses United? Is there a website or a telephone?
So we have a website, and they can go online and Google National Nurses United. It will come right up. We are an international organization. We advocate for veterans and for the appropriate care and nursing staff to deliver that. And we're the largest nurses union in the country. Oh. And surprisingly, even our nurses in right-to-work states, which mean you don't have any rights to work, they can fire you, you know, without grounds, they are joining and organizing so that NNU can come into their facilities. So we're at 23 VAs across the country, and the last VA that had came on board was San Diego.
Oh, fantastic.
Mm, yes.
And, you know, is there anything that they people can do to help, you know, assist in this process, you know, writing letters, doing something?
I think it's a good time now that the new administration is coming on, that their ears and commitment to the general population and to our veterans. They want to hear. They need to know what you feel your needs are. And what other issues we're having is with the FLRA boards, and we want that to be a board that are staffed with people who are non-biased and allow for management and unions to have a working relationship that allow nurses to safely care and speak up for our patients. So our veterans have a strong voice. Reach out to your congressman. Danny Davis is on the veteran committee, and he has been very proactive in hearing the voices of the veterans.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah, and this is really a critical time period because, you know, as things are coming, we have had so many, you know, strikes against people's human rights, right, during this administration. And, you know, and you know, rhetoric that actually has incited violence and even insurrection. And we really need to come back into a time period where we respect those veterans who served overseas and need this health care. And the only way you can do provide them with what the promise of this nation was to those who, you know, raised their hand to serve and protect, defend against all enemies, foreign and domestic, is to provide them with the adequate staffing to take care of their health care needs.
Right.
And making sure that that staff, as you were mentioning before, so many of them are veterans themselves. And so we really have to make sure that that we take care of those people who served, that protected that Capitol that was under siege last week.
Right. That this border fiasco we've had that also affects some of our veterans who have fought in the U.S. military and deported for very minor reasons or whatever. They're denied their health care here, too. There's not a VA, say, over across the border in Mexico or anything that those veterans can go and get care. So they're lost. They fought with us. They, you know, they're entitled to care, and this past administration has impacted on their care. So as they treat one, our attention should go up because it's only a short period of time that they will start treating our other veterans in that manner.
Yes, and we are one core, we're one body, you know, as a military, and that, you know, we should be making sure that they understand that, that veterans will stand up for each other, and we should be standing up for each other, and not allowing veterans to be mistreated or maltreated in any way in this nation. And there's no reason for that to happen. And any philosophy or anything that says things should be another way is actually detrimental to this country, to the strength of this country.
Right. The veterans should hold, I'll say, any administration accountable for what they are telling them that they will provide them. We have young men and women going into the military expecting that once they get out and become veterans, that they will be cared for. We have Vietnam veterans who did the same thing, and then they come out, and the reality of it is that they're not caring for them appropriately. And they need to be heard, and they need to make sure that they are writing and emailing and texting to these representatives to let them know that you're registered voters and that you will hold them accountable, not through taking over the government, but through the process of being able to vote and to vote in and out whoever is not meeting your needs or who are selling you a false bill of care.
Yes.
And they need to be very aware of that, that there are ways that you can be heard. And one of that is through the ballot box.
That's right. Absolutely. And that's what this democracy is about. You know, people making sure they have the right to express their opinions and get things moving in that direction. And, you know, one of the things that happened last week is that those Capitol Police, and many of them were actually also veterans too, and that many of them actually defended that Capitol appropriately. So they say they were saving the lives of the very people who are casting those votes and making those policies, and you know, assigning monies to the VA system. So they should you know, think about what happened and how they were protected by those people who swore to serve and protect.
Right.
So we're running out of time. Just wanted to thank you again for being on the show. We will be following National Nurses United, and we hope to have you back as this legislative season rolls forward with what your policies are and how you are interacting with those things that are so essential to our veterans. And I just wanted to make one quick shout out is to one of our board members, just General Russell Honore. You go get him.
Yes,
we're happy that he is on board and doing the things that our nation needs at a critical time.
I'd like to alert the veterans that there is a crisis hotline. I know many of them are affected over the events that have transpired since January 6th, and that number is 1-800 number, 1-800-273-8255, and just press 1. But if you're in crisis and you need help, you can go to any hospital, but come to the VA if possible
or
ask to be transferred here.
Well, thank you so much, Adelina.
We're running out of time.
But I'm going to turn over to our executive producer, Glenda Smith, and she is going to give us some more information about America's Heroes Group. Glenda?
Thank you all always for listening every week. We appreciate your support globally. But we are who we are because of you. With any questions or concerns regarding affordable housing, social service, wellness care, please feel free to call America's Heroes Group at 312-803-2618. We're located at 155 North Wecker Drive, Suite 4250, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. As always, we're grateful to our partner, Mrs. Dorothy Lavelle, and you can read our article every week, Voices, in her newspaper, Chicago Crusaders. Please call 773-752-2500 and send an ad to ads@chicagocrusaders.com and request a subscription. Once again, we're always grateful to our technical producer, the smooth Art Gaza.
Yes,
have a wonderful, blessed, and safe week, everyone. And happy birthday, Dr. Martin Luther King. Happy heavenly birthday to you.
He stood for everyone.
Yes, he did. Thank you for listening to America's Heroes Group, guys.
Okay.